Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Sure do.
In the NFL, we've got some 2-0 teams. We've got some 0-2 teams. And then we got some teams that are missing key players. We'll begin today's show. Oof, Thursday night's game. It's kind of scary. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa was concussed after a hit by DeMar Hamlin. How crazy is that? The shot was not late, it was not vicious, and it was not illegal. And Tua folded like a chair and fell into the fencer position. So the Dolphins put him on IR today. So he's going to be missing, I believe, the next 4 to 6 games. But Z, how should the NFL and the Miami Dolphins move forward?
If they're lucky, he misses 4 to 6. Because this is the, fourth documented concussion he's had? And probably the fifth that he has had in college and the pros combined. That's scary. That's absolutely scary. Now, like you said, the DeMar Hamlin hit was not malicious. Didn't lower the crown of his helmet. Didn't do anything untoward that would make you think it was a dirty play. He crunched him. He did what you were supposed to do. He did hit him in the right spot that Tua's neck just bent at an awkward angle, and that was all she wrote. And for a guy like Tua, who has suffered so many concussions, it's a little bit of that glass jaw. You know, you have that glass jaw theory. Like, once you get popped in boxing, it's more susceptible to get knocked out. Same thing with Tua. The more times he is been concussed, the more likely it is that he will become concussed. Now, he did learn how to fall. He took the jiu-jitsu, and he was better about it last year. Last year, he had relatively injury-free season, right? You know, your minor bumps and bruises and whatever normally happens, but that appears to be an outlier. And Mike McDaniel said all the right things after the post game. You know, that we're worried about two of the man, not two of the football player. And we too are worried about two of the man, not two of the football player. Because we've seen this before. We've seen guys come back from this stuff and you hold your breath. Is this going to be the one? Is this going to, you know, it's your bump card. Eventually, your bump card is filled. It's filled and you can't take anymore. Like, I don't think that he, as a player, as a person, I don't think he wants that weighing on his conscience. Is the next hit I'm going to take the one that puts me out for good? Like, that's something that is definitely concerning. He's on record saying that his mom wanted him to retire the last time. So it's tough. You know, it's an absolutely horrible situation for Tua because he works very hard to try and minimize or mitigate these circumstances. I mean, the NFL, I mean, what can the NFL do? Like, it was a clean hit. Like, they're not going to find DeMar Hamlin. Like, DeMar Hamlin didn't do anything wrong. You know, it was a freak accident. So the NFL really has nothing here. Now, going forward, maybe they make the guardian caps mandatory, but the guardian cap only disperses about 10% of the contact. So there's something to that. As far as the Dolphins, you know, they put him on IR, like they did what they're supposed to do procedurally. They went and got Tyler Huntley, So he's going to be there with Skylar Thompson. And you spin this to football, right? You spin this forward to football a little bit. And they're fighting for their season now. They're absolutely fighting for their season now. Now, what are they going to do? Rumors swirl around. Like, do they go and reach out for a guy like Zach Wilson? Do they go reach out for a guy like Jameis? Like, a guy like Drew Lock? Like, are you calling teams because, you know, you're at the brink right now? You lost Raheem Mostert. He didn't play the other day. Devon Achane played very well, you know, 96 yards on the ground. But they're scrambling right now. They're scrambling to salvage their season because, as presently constituted, they can be put in a 4-6 hole, right? They can be put in a major league hole. And Buffalo looks good so far. I know that we said that we weren't sure what they are. Like, I was more bearish on them than you were. You were way more impressed and way more interested in what they were doing than I was. I didn't think they did all that great, but they're out to a hot start. They could get buried very quickly if they don't sort this thing out. Long term, you have to care for two of the man. But unfortunately, this is the sad reality of football. It is next man up. It is a heartless, heartless business. And Tua, unfortunately, has to deal with that in addition to dealing with his recovery.
Yeah, I mean, I think, unfortunately, I think his career is over. I don't know any neuro doctor that's going to sign off and say, yeah, go play football.
Right? No way.
What doctor is going to say, you know what? I advise you. You can go back out there. Who's going to sign their name to that? I wouldn't. I'm not even capable of doing it, but I'm not. Because the truth of the matter is, got up and he walked off under his own power. But we've seen it where he's gotten knocked down and not been able to get back up.
Yeah.
And now, every time this guy is going to take a hit, everybody at home and everybody in the stands is going to be holding their breath. Because we don't know what the result's going to be. And if the next time he gets hit and he's out for the count and he goes to sleep, then what?
Right.
Then what? Who's that on? And then let's say something seriously happens to him. Let's say he gets knocked out, Z, so bad that he can't remember who he is, or he loses, you know, some kind of, you know, capabilities. And you present this case to a court or to officials, and they're going to look at the 3 or 4 concussions he took, and they're going to say, wait a minute. You guys saw all this happen. You let him back out there? And you let this happen again? Who's negligent? Who's not? Because he ain't going to sign no waiver.
No.
Who's negligent? The Dolphins negligent? Is National Football League negligent? If this man goes out there again, that's just negligence. I'm sorry. I like him. And I think you know, at some point you've taken too many hits and your head can't take any, and you can't take any more. And unfortunately it's happened early in his career, because we don't know. And it wasn't a bad hit. And that's the worst part about it. It wasn't even a bad hit. And if he slides, we're probably not even talking about this now, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know if all our listeners remember, but when Steve Young, I think it was 98 or 99, the running back missed the call, didn't block Aeneas Williams. He hit Steve Young so hard, Steve Young went to sleep on the field. Didn't even remember anything that happened that day. And then he knew it was time. So, you know, I don't think he should play anymore. I think he should hang it up. And it's easy for me to say because I'm not quarterback. I'm not him. I haven't worked as hard as he has. I haven't spent my whole life playing football. Football is not the best thing that I'm good at. Like, that's probably the best thing he's good at. So for him to wake up and say, oh, I'm not going to do the best thing I'm good at anymore, and what am I going to do? I'm sure it's a hard thing to answer. I think the best thing that's going to happen right now is he's getting put on an IR, and he's having time to think about his future. And I hate to sound selfish in this, but I hope the Miami Dolphins lose the next 4 or 5 games, because it'll make his decision, I think, a lot easier if they're out of it or if there's no chance. But if they're, like, you know, doing well, if they're close, then he might be tempted to come back. I think he needs to take a long, long decision. And, you know, the funny thing is I think the knee-jerk reaction is, okay, no, you shouldn't play anymore. Stop, right? And then after time goes by, you're like, nah, you know what? He should give it another try. You know what? One more, and then he'll be done. If it happens one more time, then you're finished. But that's all it takes, right?
Right.
It just takes one more time, and it could change your life completely. So, I mean, I don't know who at the NFL is going to sign off on this. I don't know who's going to say, yeah, let's let him play, you know, with one of those caps or without one of those caps. I don't know who's signing up for that protocol. From the Miami Dolphins standpoint, I mean, you could say next man up all you want, but the truth of the matter is you just invested a ton of money in this guy.
Right.
Which probably wasn't the smartest thing ever. I mean, he did have one good season where he did not get concussed or he did not get hurt, but
you figure, you know, I'm
professional
just gonna,
football.
I'll pause you right there, though. You figure they have to have some sort of insurance policy or some kind of injury clause, like the Giants have with Daniel Jones.
Well, I'm just saying. I think when you have a quarterback like that, it's important to get a very good backup.
Yeah,
and they just didn't. They balked at it. I mean, you're talking about a situation where you could have got a Carson Wentz, right? I know he's not what he used to be, but he's a professional quarterback. I don't consider, what's his name? Skyler what?
Skyler Thompson.
Yeah, I don't consider him a professional quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you could have got a Joe Flacco, right? A Joe Flacco, you know, who's with the Colts right now. I mean, we know he could throw it. He'll throw it all over the yard.
Completely.
Right? So, you know, you balked at a time when you could have gotten a suitable backup. So now that's what you got to do. You got to go find a backup. You got to go find a player. And maybe it is a Zach Wilson, because Zach can throw.
Yeah.
And I think Mike McDaniels is a good offensive coach, and he can coach him.
Or Stidham.
Tom ain't coming out of retirement. Yeah, or Stidham. Yeah, sure. Stidham could do it. Tom ain't coming out of retirement. Phillip Rivers is not coming out of retirement. Matt Ryan's not coming out of retirement. Got to play with what's out there. And I think they have some options, but I don't think they should wait on this. You know, the Huntley thing is fine. I actually like Huntley. I think he's a really good quarterback. I like him a lot. But, you know, I think you got to start thinking, okay, you know, you might think it's bizarre, Z, but Matthew Stafford, trade. They're not going nowhere. They just lost Cup. They lost Nacua. They're 0-2, about to be 0-3. Hey, guys, I know you need draft picks.
Give me draft picks.
Give me Matt Stafford today.
I mean, very well
in that offense.
I mean, you give it a little bit of time. I mean, they're two ships passing in the night right now. Like, Cup and Nacua, they're not on season. It's not a season-ending situation, so... Like, they may feel like they're still in this. They're in a relatively, you know, they're in a tough division, but they could probably get the third playoff spot. There could be 3 playoff spots coming out of that division. So, in the AFC
It's early.
It's very early. All of this is way too early, but, you know, if they continue to trend downward like that, I'm sure Matthew Stafford could be available. You know, absolutely. Yeah, like we said about Stidham, we talked about Zach Wilson. Like, you're not really, like, maybe even Mac Jones. Like, if they'd be willing to part with Mac Jones,
sure.
So, you know, there are some options.
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett, Andrew Dalton. He's starting for Carolina, but if Andrew Dalton starts to kind of heat it up a little bit, who's to say he doesn't increase his trade value? Yeah, so
there's options out there, but I think he should I don't know if playing football is the right thing for him anymore.
I feel bad dictating the terms of his career. That's the only thing. He's the one who ultimately has to make the decision. But to your point,
does he though? When you think about it, does he though? Because I'm sure his family doesn't want him to go back out there. I don't. Maybe selfish Dolphins management and coaches want him to go back out there, but they can't really feel 100% confident that this isn't going to happen again. So
no,
I don't know if they really want him to go back out there. And I don't think the NFL wants him to go back out there, because it's a tough thing to watch on TV. It's a tough thing to see.
Yeah,
but that fencer's pose when you're out.
But you're a player. You are a player. You know what that does to you. You know, you're gonna have to take this from my cold dead hands. Like that's the kind of mentality that is for some of these guys. So sometimes people need to be saved from themselves.
Yeah.
And this might be one of those cases.
Hey there, NFL football fans. This is the lovely Rita Sanchez, aka your Option Football champ for the 2023 NFL season. I'm inviting you to join us for the 2024 Option, where we pick the winning teams for each week's matchups and compete against each other to see whose picks reign supreme. Are you in? Head over to CBS Sports and search for the Option 2024 League, or hit the link in the bio on the Fade Route socials and join today. It's for free. Pick a witty name, some winning teams, and I'll see you out there for week one.
But yeah, we're going to move on a little bit, and we're going to talk about the game as a whole, right? We're through week two. There are five teams still looking for a win in the AFC. Which team is in real trouble here? So for the record, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Colts, the Jags, the Titans, and the Broncos. There's actually six. There's six teams, not five. My bad.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know what the hell is going on in Jacksonville. I mean, what the fuck is going on in Jacksonville? They're averaging only 15 points a game. They just made Trevor Lawrence one of the highest paid players in the game. If you go back to last year, I think this is like something like 7 or 8 losses in a row. Like, am I missing something? You got Travis Etienne. He was a first round draft pick. Trevor Lawrence, supposed to be like the next Joe Montana, big strong quarterback. They went and got some defensive players, right? I know you have Christian Kirk, but you also went and drafted a guy. What the hell is going on? Do we forget how to call plays? We forgot how to stop people? That's embarrassing. You let the Browns come down there and stomp you out like that in your fucking town? And then in the first week, you're winning, and then you let the Dolphins come back and beat you? Awful. Awful. So I think Jacksonville is in some serious trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to think that maybe we didn't overrate Jacksonville. You know, they got off to the hot start last year. They choked it away.
They have talent. They have super talent. Like, I mean, the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans are 0-2. All right. Kind of makes sense. I see that.
Yeah.
But
they're playing Denver hard, Broncos. Though. They played hard, though.
They play very good. They're very good. Yeah. Denver Broncos 0-2. All right. I'm not sure. But Ravens? Bengals?
No.
The Jaguars in that division against the teams you just played? Ugh, basura. Basura.
So the Colts haven't looked that great with Anthony Richardson. They've been okay. I mean, the Jaguars,
offensively, they looked all right, but I don't know.
Defense is a problem.
This is just what he's going to be, though. Like, he's going to be up and down. You know what I mean?
That's the life of a young quarterback. Now, remember, this is his rookie year because he left. He was injured early in the season. And they had to move on to Gardner Minshew. But the Colts definitely need to get their house in order. The Jags, I think maybe we just overrated and overstated who they are. Like I said, this is a prove it year for Trevor Lawrence. He got paid. He got paid to be the guy. He's not demonstrating that he's the guy. He's not doing that. He's not doing that. Joe Burrow had a better game in week two than he did in week one. Statistically, it was fine. Week one, efficient, 21 to 29. Better against the Chiefs. But they got so many problems with, you know, the contracts and the behind the scenes situations. And that becomes a problem in and of itself. You have to be concerned about those things. Is what's happening in the conference room, is that bleeding out onto the field? And I mean, the Broncos are the Broncos. The Titans are the Titans. We're not like, we didn't think that highly of them to begin with. So like, we don't have to worry about them being in trouble because they were already behind the eight ball before the season started. That leaves you with the Baltimore Ravens. They're a minus 10 point differential. They're a minus 10. You lost to the fucking Raiders. Now, yes, the Raiders are better. They're better than they were. Gardner Minshew is a better quarterback than Aiden O'Connell. But you lost to an inferior team. I don't care if they have Devontae Adams. They're an inferior team. Monken, remember you have Derrick Henry. We're going to talk about that in our new classroom segment in a little while, but we'll get deeper into the Todd Monken situation. But they got to remember who the fuck they are. The Ravens need to remember who the fuck they are. They're in a division where the Steelers are fucking 2-0.
I called that.
Yeah. 16 points. It's their defense. 16 points allowed. 16. That's pretty damn impressive. So, and, you know, the Bengals are going to be hanging around. This is the situation. This is the division where it could potentially be three teams coming out of there. But I don't know. The Ravens just look off. They look completely discombobulated, and they got to fix it. Otherwise, this could spiral out of control very, very quickly.
Yeah, so I don't really know what they're doing offensively. I don't know what they're doing, but I knew this was going to be a problem. I knew it was going to be like this power struggle. Like, okay, how often are we going to give it to Henry? How often are we going to let Lamar run the ball?
Right.
We don't want to give the ball to Henry too much because we don't want to get him get tired. Then we've got to also be able to throw to Flowers. We got to protect the quarterback. Like, they have all these things that they're trying to do, and you can see it, right? And the defense is good, but it's not what it was last year. They have a different D coordinator this year.
I'm concerned. They've allowed 53 points. They've allowed 53 points.
It's very concerning. You know, and I don't really believe in Lamar as much as a thrower. Either. I do think Zay looks really good this year. He looks like what he was supposed to be. You know, he is getting open. He's beating one-on-one coverage, not with just speed, but his route running is a lot better this year. You know, I think they're a little confused in what they want to do with Andrews and Likely, because Likely's like ready, but you also got to get Andrews the ball. And, you know, I'm just going to chalk this up to it being a preseason, right? I mean, this was two games. It's like 2 weeks. These are two preseason games, I consider it. So we'll see where they net out this week. Big game. I believe they're playing Dallas this week.
All right. We're going to see where this ends up. But you definitely, to me, the two tight ends set the way they have it, it's very reminiscent of Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. You got to feed them both. They're both extremely talented. But
that also means you got to throw the ball more.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, what did we get Derrick Henry for? You know, I mean, he's better. I think I told you this. He's better with a full head of steam. And I want him to kind of be like my red zone guy. Like, when we get in the red zone, just pound it with him.
Yeah.
You know? And up until that point, it's got to be mixed up. Of course, he's going to be in on first downs. But let Justice Hill come in. He's good player. Like, I'm cool with it. I'm really cool with Henry being a battering ram and letting Lamar run an offense. I'm cool with it. But this whole thing, it's almost like we don't know what we want to do because we feed him early and then we just don't feed him at all. Like, it's like, no. You can't do it like that, man, because he gets cold, he gets frustrated, and it's just like it creates a shit situation.
Yeah. And what about the defense aspect of it too? Because you're looking at, they have a negative 10 point differential for the Ravens. So they are playing from behind. They're going to have to throw the ball more. So you can't play ball control.
Well, they lost Patrick McQueen, right? Yeah. And now it's just the Roquan show. Humphrey is still there, but it's not a new scheme, but you got a new person calling the plays. And I think he's still trying to figure things out and he's still trying to work things out. Tough division, but you know, the Browns are up and down so far. The Bengals look like shit, so
yeah.
We'll see how it works out. But in the NFC, the Panthers, Rams, and Giants are still searching for their first win. Which team will get the W first?
Jesus Christ. Jesus H. Christ.
Chris Boswell has more points than the New York football Giants do. He's got 25 points on the season.
The Giants. The Giants did not. It's unbelievable. Like that's insane. The Giants did not allow an offensive touchdown. Right? They did not allow a touchdown, and they still lost. So, right.
The first team in, I think it's the first or second team in NFL history.
Ever.
I think they scored 3 touchdowns, but lost the game to a team that scored no touchdowns.
That's a special kind of bad. It's a special kind of bad. The Rams draw the Niners this week. So we'll do with that what we will. The Ravens are drawing the Cowboys, who just got their asses handed to them by the Saints. And then you have the Giants, who offensively looked better last week. You know, Malik Nabers.
Let's put it this way: the Rams, the Panthers, and the Giants will not be winning this weekend.
But here's the situation. I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know.
Okay.
Of the three, based on this week, now it's not likely, but I would say the best chance is probably the Giants over the Browns. So, because the Browns offense is crap. So, that's the one thing they got going for them. The Browns offense is not good right now. So, there's an opportunity there. And their defense has not looked like it did in the past, where it was the number one team in the league, where it was the number one defense in the league. The Panthers, with Andrew Dalton, they made the move. I'll give them credit for making the move. They recognized that Bryce Young was not doing jack. You know, he didn't even break 90 yards.
Negative 60 point differential.
Yeah.
In 2 games.
Yeah. So maybe
touchdowns for Bryce Young, 3 interceptions.
Hideous.
Last in passing yards, 245. Last in yards per completion at 4.4.
Yeah.
And last in QBR.
So I owe Daniel Jones an apology. He's only the second worst quarterback. So
what do you do in that situation, Z? I mean, is it worth it just to kind of do like a Zach Wilson thing? Like, dude, you're not going to even dress. Kind of need you just to take a step back and just kind of watch this thing. Man. Like, you gotta just take yourself out of it. Like, is that the move the Panthers should make right now?
I mean, to get this kid's mind right, he probably needs a breather. This is where in baseball, this is where they would put him on the IL with a phantom injury. Right? Oh, he's got a cracked fingernail.
Well, yeah, well, if that's what the Jets did, remember?
Right.
Zach went from being like, Zach's our guy, he's starting to, dude, you just don't even need a clipboard today. Just put on a jacket and kind of stand next to Aaron, all
right? Right. So, like, you need to figure out what the equivalent is of the phantom IL stint, and that's what you kind of have to do for Bryce Young, because he is, you're going to lose him. You're going to lose him as a player. You're going to lose the locker room. If you
might
kept...
be the worst trade in NFL history. He might be the just he yeah. might be the biggest bust just because of what was given up for him.
And it's not done yet. I think there's one more second round pick.
Yeah. Yeah. 2025.
Yeah. So the Panthers are drawing the Raiders. The Raiders who just knocked off the Ravens. I don't think that the Panthers are going to do that. And yeah, no, the Rams are going up against the Niners team that's probably very ornery. So of the best of the three, the Giants may actually have a chance this week. But who would most likely get their win sooner?
Yeah.
The Rams are just decimated right now. Like the Rams are absolutely decimated on offense. So I'm probably still going to go with the Giants. I think the Giants, as presently constituted, they're better than the Panthers, even with Andrew Dalton. Dalton to Thielen could be really good. We'll see. Those are two guys who could end up on the block at some point. As I'm sure they're going to try and shed payroll, trying to get out from under this nightmare. But yeah, I gotta think that the Giants, they have the running game. Singletary looks really good. Neighbors looks explosive. He's shifty. He's exactly what you were advertised when he came out of LSU. The defense is a problem. The defense is an absolute problem. Kicker is now going to be a problem because Graham Gano got hurt on the opening kickoff.
My leg.
Yeah, his hamstring rolled up. And boom, done. First play of the game. That set the tone. That really set the tone, boys. So, you know, they brought in Randy Bullock for a workout. They brought in Riley Patterson. They brought in some guys. Hopefully, you know, they impressed. You know, Randy Bullock, that fat bastard. You know, that's pretty awesome. The chunky kicker.
I call him the Teletubby.
Yeah, exactly. He's a chunker, but he can kick, man. So we'll see what goes on there. In the Rams, Cup, who knows? Nakua, who knows? Who's Stafford throwing the ball to? And that defense is better than I thought it was going to be, especially since Aaron Donald's not there. But can it withstand not having any offensive complement? And I don't think so. So for me, Giants 1, probably Panthers 2, and then Rams 3.
Yeah, I think the Rams have a chance. I think next week they play the Bears. And then I think week 7, there's another opportunity because I think, let me see here, the Panthers play the Commanders. That might be a chance. I don't really like the Giants' schedule. I think they have some tough games coming up. I mean, I like how you have the faith in them to go into Cleveland and in Believe Land and win there. But I think the Cleveland Browns defense is really good. So I don't know how that's going to work out. And then in week 9, the Giants play the Commanders. I think that's a winnable game. So
maybe they'll actually have a kicker.
I would go with the Rams. I think the Rams get the W next weekend against the Bears. But man, what a fucking mess. I mean, it really is. I mean, when you think about, I mean, Bryce Young, it's just not working out. Like he's a scrawny guy, you know? And the whole thing was, I think a lot of people felt like he was going to Patrick Mahomes this thing, or even, you know, just, or even Deshaun Watson it, where he was going to be quicker, pick it up really quick and make decisions quick and throw the ball quick. I mean, he has had, what, 3 head coaches in 3 years?
3 head coaches in 2 years, not even.
And then 2 years and then 2 different offensive coordinators. Yeah. What talent has he really had? I mean, we can make a bunch of excuses why it hasn't worked, but then you look at a guy like Stroud and you're like, oh, that's the way it's supposed to look, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Or if you look, or, you know, we can even look at Caleb Williams right now and say, okay, this isn't really looking the way it's supposed to look. But at times we see the Anthony Richardson Richardson, we see that flash. You're like, oh, wow, you could do that. And you know what? We just haven't seen that from Bryce Young, right?
No.
There hasn't been a play or something that's happened that we've been like, oh, okay, that's why you were the first pick. Okay, I see it now. You know, I think, and he looks slow. You know, he just looks slow. And you know what they were trying to do is they were trying to, because he's only 5'10", 5'11", and these guys here in the National Football League, they're big dudes.
And that may be generous, too.
They were trying to, like, get him rolled out so he could see, like, where he's throwing it. That hasn't worked. And even in the last, like, two games, like, he's just missing guys. Like, you're missing easy throws. Like, when the running back runs in the flat, lead him upfield, that's an easy throw, bro. Like, you got to make that throw. And I can't even really pick out a play I saw of his. I was like, wow, you know? So I think it's smart for them to pull the plug early. Just know what it is. You know, that people move on now. People don't stick with quarterbacks long. I mean, look at Geno Smith and Sam Darnold. Both are like top 10 passers right now.
Yeah.
And they both played for the Jets. But, you know, and then also maybe it's just the Panthers thing, because you had Sam Darnold who was there, right?
Yep.
He was with the Panthers. You had Baker Mayfield who was there for a hot second. And all those guys left. So
it's the ghost of Cam Newton. It's the ghost of Cam Newton.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. Popstarsballoons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the Popstars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit popstarballoons.com to pop your next event. You know, sticking around with the NFL, the Saints, they throttled the Cowboys on Sunday, and they've scored in every possession so far this season. They're 15 for 15. And the Vikings are 2-0 with Sam Darnold, baby. And beating the Giants and the 49ers. That's what you get for cutting me, he said. So are the Saints and Vikings the best teams in the NFC?
Fuck!
That was Dak Prescott after his second pick the other day. So, I mean, they're the only two, well, they're undefeated. So you kind of have to roll with that. The Vikings and the Saints and the Bucks and the Seahawks, right? The only undefeated teams currently. The Saints are just fucking throttling people. They've scored a combined 91 points. 91 points. That's what they've scored. You know, Derek Carr looks like the guy that they thought they were getting. And that defense has allowed fewer than 30 points. So they, as a total, they've allowed 29. They're point differential is a plus 62. That's insane. That's insane. Is it sustainable? Probably not. I would say no. How about no? But, you know.
How about no?
20 carries for 115 yards and three tutties for Alvin Kamara against a Dallas defense that is probably overrated because it's the Dallas Cowboys. It's implied. So,
well, they played lights out last weekend. I mean, they crushed it. So yeah. Let's not. I mean, the Dallas last weekend, not this past weekend, but the opening weekend, they really laid it to the Browns.
Yeah. So they took it to the Browns, and I'm not convinced the Browns are that good. It's a year. It's a year-to-year situation, right? Yeah. I don't know that right now. The offense looks terrible, and the defense was not looking great. They could not get to Dak. So, that's a problem. Saints could get to Dak. Sacked him three times.
Whoa, hold on. Twice. Wait. Wait, you're talking about the Browns?
Yeah.
No, they got to Dak. They got to Dak three times. They got three sacks on Dak. That was pretty good. That's pretty good for a defense. You don't think that's good?
Not the caliber of Myles Garrett.
Okay.
So, I mean, you're looking at an issue where they ran right through Dallas, too. Kamara, 20 for 115. That's like, when was the last time Alvin Kamara had that stat line? 20 for 115 and three touchdowns. Right, it's
Fantasy
been a while.
Championship 2022.
It's been a while. It's been a while since Alvin Kamara did that. Easily the most productive guy out there. Plus, he had a receiving touchdown. So let's throw that out there, too. Derek Carr didn't need to do that much. 11 to 16. But 243, two touchdowns. So they were efficient, they were balanced. And they were dynamic. That being said, the more impressive win is Minnesota because of the caliber of opponent. We have higher expectations for the 49ers than we do for the Dallas Cowboys. Even without McCaffrey, now Deebo Samuel is hurt.
Yeah, the
Niners are still deep. And the Niners still have that defense. They still got Bosa. They still have Warner. They still have Lenore. They still have their guys. So, for Sam Darnold to do what he's doing, it's excellent. 17 to 26, 268, two tutties and a pick.
And so, throwing it, though. Like he's slinging it. Yeah. He's slinging it. He ain't sitting down there dinking and dunking.
No.
He's going for home run. He's going for home run balls from his own end zone.
97-yard touchdown.
Justin Jefferson's hurt.
Now.
Justin Jefferson's hurt.
Yeah.
And Jordan Addison's hurt. So that might hurt him this weekend. If he's able to come out this weekend on top, Sam Darnold, comeback player of the year, baby. Love it. Sounds great.
Yeah. That being said, Sam Darnold is definitely, if you don't have Addison, if you don't have Jefferson, we'll see what Sam Darnold can do. Because then you have Jalen Naylor as your number one receiver. You're going to go Trent Sherfield. So the drop off is
what
real.
What I would say, just as a well rounded team right now, you know, I think the Minnesota Vikings are the team to beat right now. Because their defense is playing extremely well. And like I said, Sam is looking like the Sam he always does. Like we talked about a couple weeks ago. He looks like the Sam through the first three or four games. You know, nobody's seen any tape on me. I'm flashing. I'm not seeing ghosts out there. I'm good, you know. So we'll see what happens when the tape is out and Justin Jefferson's out and Jordan Addison's out and, you know, Aaron Jones comes down to earth. I do like what the Saints are doing, but I agree with you. Like, I don't believe in Derek Carr. I've never believed in Derek Carr. Derek Carr don't believe in Derek Carr. So, you know, I think what they're doing, though, is they're surprising a lot of people because they're not – Olave is not the guy. Like, they're throwing it to Shahid.
Yeah, Shahid is the guy.
That's taking people – that's taking things off. That's taking people by surprise. And Kamara is like playing like 2018 Kamara, like flying, you know, can't be. He's going like 4 or 5 yards before he's even touched. Their offensive line is blowing people off the ball. Something that nobody expected was for them to be throwing people off the ball. And Dennis Allen has always been a defensive-minded guy. He's always been a defensive coach. So it's no surprise there that the defense is, you know, taking care of theirs. They always play really good defense. So let's see if it's sustainable. They're in a shit division, so it's definitely winnable. The Minnesota Vikings, I mean, listen, OKC, KOC, Kevin O'Connell, If he keeps getting Sam up and Sam playing well, I told you Sam could do this. I love Sam Darnold. I always liked Sam Darnold. I always thought he was a good player. You know, he just unfortunately had bad coaching. You know, he went to the wrong places. Same thing with Geno. Geno's a good player. How you like in the Seahawks? Geno looks great. Big win last weekend against the Patriots in Foxborough. Not easy to do for a team to come cross country like that, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, that's a more impressive scenario coming, having to come east from west. But Sam is definitely, he's not a guy who's going to make other guys around him better, right?
No, that's not what he does.
So he's not going to turn like, I hate to say this, but like Kirk Cousins, he actually made Drake London relevant last night. So let's put it that way. That's what Kirk Cousins was able to do. Kirk Cousins is a more, because of his ability to be consistent and because of his ability to command, even when you're, you know, getting flustered, that makes him, that takes him above, right? That takes the good to very good. Like, that's where you need to go. And then you need to go from mediocre to good. You have to kind of master these things. Sam Darnold's good for about 4 or 5 games. We'll see if he can do it for the long term. It's like Gardner Minshew. Yeah. Gardner Minshew's good for 4 or 5 games. Can he do it?
2 or 3.
Yeah. Well, he had the Colts in playoff contention. So, that, you know, like, there's something to be said for that. So you're gonna get that level. We thought Geno was that guy. You know, oh, he's a spark for a few games. Turns out they've been doing some coaching up in Seattle. Turns out they turned Geno Smith into not only the comeback player of the year, but one of the higher echelon quarterbacks in the league.
Top 10.
Top 10, yeah.
But lots of key players went down this weekend.
Yeah.
And we'll be missing extended time. Deebo Samuels, Cooper Kupp, Isaiah Pacheco, Tua, Rashad White, just to name a few. So which team is going to be okay despite losing their star?
Well, Kupp and Puka is a 1-2 punch that is going to drop the Rams temporarily. Rashad White, who's his backup? Yeah, I got
Bucky Irving, baby.
Bucky Irving.
Pick him up in your fantasy. Yeah. Get it. Go get it while he's hot.
Oh, dear. Bucky Irving. That's who we're going to be. That's where we're hanging our hat on with Tampa Bay. Now, the good thing about Tampa Bay is they have these fellas. Maybe you heard of them. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Yeah, those names sound familiar. So, I think Tampa Bay will be okay. Same thing with Deebo. Like, you lose Deebo, you lose Christian McCaffrey. All of a sudden, you got George. You have Mason. You have Ayuk. You have Kittle. You have Jennings. Like, they're not going to miss a beat. They're absolutely not going to miss a beat. So, Pacheco. That's interesting. They went and signed Kareem Hunt. The Chiefs brought back Kareem Hunt to the practice squad.
Love it. Kareemy!
Now, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think, is eligible to come off of the non-football injury list in week five. It's week five. So they're going to be okay. It's the question of who's deeper, the Chiefs or the Niners? And as presently constituted, with the way Rice is playing, with the way Worthy is playing, the way three tight ends are playing, I gotta say the Chiefs are going to fare the best out of all of them. Because it's the Chiefs. It's what they do. What we've already talked about.
They've only been winning games by one score, and those games are at home. I mean, what happens when they go on the road and face some adversity? You know? I don't know. Their offense isn't what it used to be. Kelsey really hasn't gotten kicked into gear yet.
No, he hasn't. But they're also, you know, they're also bringing his targets down. So maybe it's a little situation where they're just keeping him fresh for later in the year. Because maybe, he, you know, Travis Kelce plays a physical game. And it's possible that he's getting beat up. But, you know, he's a tight end. You're going to get beat up at that position. Because you're an extension of the offensive line. So maybe they're, you know, they're trying to work Gray in. They're trying to work the third tight end in, Justin Watson. They're really trying to take the load off of Kelce and keep him fresh. But, I mean, if that's the case, you're running five guys deep. And if Juju ever gets going, that's six. So that's pretty darn good. They did a pretty darn good job of giving Mahomes enough to work with and the depth to withstand this. The Niners are starting to thin out a little bit. They still have some top-level guys, but they are starting to thin out a little bit. And that's what concerns me. You know, the Rams are completely thinned out. So it's going to be a tough road. It's absolutely going to be a tough road. But, I mean, we'll definitely see what's going on and how they're going to proceed.
Well, for me, I think it's the Rams. Mm. But, you know, losing Kupp, I mean, because you've already lost Nacua. But right behind them, I have the 49ers. I think Deebo Samuel is one of their best offensive weapons. Their offense is different when he's out there. I know they still have, you know, talent, and they're probably still able to win games. But I think this week was an example of them going to play the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, and just, okay, we don't have McCaffrey. We don't have Deebo. Now you need more out of Purdy. You need more out of everybody else. Yeah. It's just not there. Deebo's like a Swiss Army knife, and he lines up in the backfield. He goes over the middle. He's a big dude. He's fast. And Brandon Ayuk has a golden opportunity right now to show why he got the money he got paid, because he's going to be the guy. And I'm not sure he could be the guy. I'm not sure if he's built to beat one-on-one coverage. I don't know if he can handle, you know, having the number one corner on him and not being in the slot and things like that. Or having all the attention on him, because now he's the guy that they're going to be most worried about, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how things play out.
The good thing is that he still has Kittle there, so that could take the pressure off a little bit. And, you know, this could really be a big coming out party for Juwan Jennings. You know, in flashes, he's shown that he's really good.
That's true. Yes, 100%. I agree.
Yeah, Jordan Mason and Juwan Jennings. Like, I would definitely look at them. And, you know, in the weeks to come, like, I don't know how long it's going to take him to be ramped up and ready to go, but I know that they were high on Pearsall. Now, Pearsall got shot before the year started, so I don't know what the timeline is, but, you know, Pearsall, it's an opportunity for Pearsall, too, if he's able to play. So, you know, the depth is being tested. They do have a little bit, and where they're really going to be tested is their running back. Because after Jordan Mason, Isaac Garendo, Patrick Taylor, because McCaffrey's on the IR. Like, he's not coming back anytime soon. And if Jordan Mason falters, who's going to be the guy?
Need some last-minute fantasy football advice? Then the boys at the Fade Route have you covered. Check out Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with DNZ every NFL Sunday, noon Eastern, during the regular season. D and I give you our top 1-2-3 fantasy starts or green lights, and our top 1-2-3 fantasy sits or red lights. That's Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with D and Z every NFL Sunday, noon Eastern, during the regular season. That's Red Light, Green Light 123 with DNZ.
Speaking of the guy, somebody who we thought was the guy, Mike Trout is looking forward to next season, as he often does, as he's home recuperating from an injury. Reports indicate that he might be playing a different position next year. Trout's eyeing the possibility of moving to a corner outfield spot or playing DH. Is this the right move for Trout and the Angels?
I'd just trade him. I don't see the point. I don't think, you know, him playing a corner outfield spot or playing more games at DH is going to stop him from getting hurt. This guy gets hurt swinging a bat. This guy, you know, just his knee, his wrist, his hand. It's always something, you know? And just package his ass over to the Phillies and just get this over with. I mean, maybe it just change of scenery will do him good. Maybe it's just what he needs, you know, to see him play. I want to see Mike Trout play. I want to see him play. We don't get to see him play. He hasn't played in like August and September. I can't even remember the last time he did it. You know, so I think they should just move on. Instead of figuring out like if he's gonna play a corner outfield position or if he's gonna play first base or just DH, let's try to find him a new team to go to.
Well, it's not just that they need to do right by Mike Trout here, because he did stay, right? He took on the mantle of being the face of the franchise. You know, he is a three-time MVP, right? He has several accolades. He keeps your franchise relevant. The problem
his
best is
days are behind him.
But that's the problem, though. They should have traded him 2 years ago, right? They should have gotten rid of him 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, back before his body really started to break down and betray him. It's not going to be the return on the investment is not going to be nearly what it could have been. Whether it's the Orioles, whether it's the Phillies, whether it's, you know, whoever, you're not getting what you could have got. And that's a major problem, because the Angels don't really have a great farm system to recoup this. They don't have the guys, they don't have the horses to make up for it. Clearly they don't, because they stink. And they stunk for years. They stunk with Trout. They stunk with Otani. They stunk with Rendon. They stunk with Hamilton. They stunk with Pujols. It's just a gaping hole. Something is wrong. Something is fundamentally wrong with how the Angels are doing business. The best thing they could do is trade them, knowing you're going to get 10 cents on the dollar. Now, once he gets to his next destination, I think you got to take his glove. I really think you got to take his glove. You're going to be an everyday DH. We're going to try and prolong your career as much as possible. And just kind of take it from there. But he, you know, it's back injuries, it's leg injuries, it's a game of operation with Mike Trout. It's always a different body part. So it's hard to pinpoint. But I think playing the outfield as hard as he did, crashing into walls, jumping on over fences, it adds up. We talked about the bump card with Tua. Trump's bump card, it's finally over. You know, like that was the last one. So I know you say the Phillies. I mean, they could certainly, like, that would certainly be an impact bat. I don't know. I gotta think there are more suitors out there, right? That seems the most logical. But there's got to be some teams out there that will pony up for a guy like Mike Trout. If only to kind of give him the send-off, right? Because you're looking at, he only has 378 career home runs. At this point in time, the way that his body is broken down, he ain't getting to 500. So any team that takes him is going to try and take him for like a retirement tour. And yeah, I don't know if that is, I don't know if that's going to be a wise move for the team that takes him. Because you're only going to get about 60 games. And is the juice worth the squeeze on that? If you believe in war, he's only a one war this year. He's only one game better than an average replacement. If you believe in that sort of thing.
That's wild.
Yeah. So, war, what is it good for? Apparently diminishing absolutely nothing. In this case, it's for diminishing Mike Trout. Just enough. But I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen, what the negotiations are going to be, and ultimately how the Angels are going to screw this up.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. AirCare Technicians, 914-315-1547.
Time to put some grades in. Welcome to the classroom. All right, ladies and gentlemen, class is in session. Come on in, sit down, take out your notes, and take out something to write with. Here's how it works in the classroom. We give a grade from A to F of performances, signings, you name it. We'll grade it. Assignment number one. Ravens offensive coordinator Todd Monken's play calling against the Raiders on Sunday.
C minus. Like, I don't know what the game plan was. I don't understand. It seemed like they had Derrick Henry involved early and often. Then all of a sudden, he disappeared. And then, what was the fourth quarter? The play calling in the fourth quarter? Like, what's happening? What game are you playing? Are you playing Madden? Are you playing NCAA? Because you're not watching this game. I don't know what you were trying to do. I don't know who you were trying to exploit. Like, are these the plays that were like done really good at practice? Like when you were doing situational football? Like, I just don't know. I don't know if you got to come down to the booth. I don't know if you got to come in the huddle. But it was just a mess.
I'm going D. I'm going with a D. It was absolutely atrocious. What the hell was that final drive? Like, what was right? it? That was just terrible.
What the hell just happened?
What did I text you? What did I text you on Sunday? What the fuck was that? I believe was
what was that?
What the fuck was that final drive? I believe that was what I texted you on Sunday. Yeah. You have Derrick Henry. Why is this hard? Why is this hard? I don't understand. You have a guy who's a fucking bowling ball. Use him. Instead, you're going to have Lamar run for his life. It just doesn't... It just doesn't compute. You give him the tools, and then you totally undercut, right?
We had talent.
That's the thing. They have the tools. They have the talent, and then they fuck up on the decision making. It's almost as if they played better when they had less. It was almost that they did more with less in the past. Like, the Ravens have a lot more than they've had in the past. They have Flowers. They have Likely. They have Andrews. They have Derrick Henry, and they just can't get out of their own fucking way. D. Absolute D. Do better, Todd Monken. Just do better. Assignment number two. The New York Knicks signing Marcus Morris and Landry Shamet.
I give that a solid B. Maybe even a B plus. You know, I like Shamet. Morris is a tough guy. Gets rebounds. He can hit a shot every once in a while. He can hit threes. It gives them Shamet's like the backup kind of guard you were looking for. So I like what the Knicks did here.
I gotta go B plus. I really like what they're doing.
Solid.
They lengthened their bench. They did exactly what they needed to do. Right? We discussed how are they gonna replace Isaiah Hartenstein. Does Marcus Morris do that? A little bit, right? They brought back Precious Achiuwa. They have guys who can kind of replace Hartenstein in the aggregate. And bringing in Landry Shamet's a wise decision. It's an absolutely, you know, it's a solid move. Yeah, he only averages about 9 points a game, but he's a career 38% three-point shooter. Take that. You absolutely take that. Morris brings you toughness. He brings you physicality. He'll give you that grit work, possibly taking some of the pressure off of Julius Randle. So I think that's important. And what does this do? It makes you more formidable against teams like the Pacers, teams like the Celtics. It makes you tougher. It makes you more difficult to beat. So I think that the New York Knicks made a smart decision. Those little tweaks to a roster that is very good, and they're poised to maintain that two spot or possibly sneak in on the one. What do you want us to grade? Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at Fade Route Podcast, or drop us a line on X at Fade Route DNZ. Let us know. But for now, class dismissed.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com.
Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be the Jets. J-E-T-S.
Oh! The paper planes.
The paper planes. The New York paper planes. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
Actually a really good question. Okay, I got my list right here. All right, first up, I've got your first overall pick of 2 years ago, Bryce Young. Panthers currently have a negative 60-point differential. Bryce Young has zero touchdowns, three interceptions. He's last in QBR, last in yards per completion. Oh, and he just ended up on the bench. Oof. Bryce Young, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Averaging two touchdowns a game, losing to Miami when you were winning the entire game, having the Browns come and beat you in your town. Duval. Disaster. Jacksonville Jaguars, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And last but not least, Mike McDaniels. 1-11 in your last 12 games against teams with winning records. I know you lost Tua, but dude, you got to be able to beat teams with winning records. And right now, your methods are not getting that done. Mike McDaniels, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Zeke?
All good choices. You can't go wrong with that. You really can't go wrong with that. Yeah, Mike McDaniel, we're given a little bit of grace. But at the end of the day, you are what your record says you are. Speaking of you are what your record says you are, I'm going to go with the White Sox. 36-115. Oh, dear Jesus. That's atrocious. And GM Chris Getz is on record saying he's going to cut payroll for next season. Are you crazy? So you're saying this team's going to get worse? Is that what you're promising me? Getz, what the hell are you talking about? This team is already atrocious, and now you're going to, what, have quadruple-A players? What, these guys are furniture movers? Like, is that what we're doing here? I don't know how White Sox fans go to guaranteed rate. I don't know how you do this. I don't know how you stomach this, because looking from afar, it's a fucking joke. Chicago White Sox, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the New York Football Giants. Did not allow a touchdown. Did not allow a touchdown at all. 7 field goals. And you lost. Did not allow a touchdown at all. Plus, you had a great performance by Neighbors. You had a great performance by Singletary. You had a decent enough performance from Daniel Jones. A squandered opportunity against the Commies, who weren't that great. You had them. You couldn't put them away. Even with Graham Gano getting hurt. Plenty of missed opportunities there. How about a defensive stop? How about a sack on third down and you take them out of field goal range? How about you not let the Commies march down the field and drain all the time to kick a chip shot game-winning field goal? How about you do that? Yeah, Wink Martindale's not here. Show some fucking pride. Show some of that New York Giant pride. New York Football Giants, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then last but not least, the Philadelphia Eagles. Monday Night Football, you have the game won. You have the game won. All you have to do is run for a first down, kick a field goal. That's all you have to do. Instead, you try and pass out to Saquon Barkley in the flat, and Giant fans can tell you this much, that's a dicey proposition. So he bobbled it, he dropped it, and guess what happened? The Atlanta Falcons marched down the fucking field, right down your throat, and took the game from you. Falcons win. Absolutely atrocious, boneheaded play calling by Nick Sirianni. Philadelphia Eagles, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at @FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll @FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.